Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi there, and welcome to Scout the Game Week. Scout the Game Week is Fantasy Football Scout's weekly podcast brought to you by the Scout Network. In each episode, we'll look back at the game week we have just played to assess what we can learn to help us in the next round of fixtures. I'm your host, Ryan, from Football Chatbox. Let's scout the game week. This week, I'm joined by Sam from FPL Family. There was a comment when I asked on Twitter for questions, and Pete from FPL SideNet podcast, he commented saying, the OG, so basically the OG of Scout the Game Week. How are you doing, Sam, and how is the season going so far?
I'm doing well, thank you. Yeah, it feels like a long time since I was hosted this podcast, though, Ryan. Like, it's been yours for a while now, so I'm not sure I deserve the OG title, but I'll take it. The season... it's been mixed. So at parts of the season, it's been really good. Actually, up until Christmas, I was having a really, really good season. And I was thinking, right, this has got potential this year to probably be one of my best FPL seasons. And then everything that could go wrong between January and, well, even last week, feels like it has. It's just been a bit of a roller coaster. Some lovely green arrows in there, but a lot of red arrows. So I'm kind of sitting around the 280-ish K, which is fine, but it's just not, it's not where I was. And I think when you've been at like 40K, I mean, after game week one, I was at 15K. So you kind of then go, right, I want to get back there, I guess. And that's been a bit of a struggle the last few weeks, but we'll just see. The last 9 weeks have got the potential to be quite game-changing, I think, in terms of where people end up. So let's see.
All right, we'll see. Because this, what's your aim? Top 100K still, or
higher? Yeah, well, higher, really. So my aim always is top 10K. That's always the plan. When I start the season, I'm always in my head thinking, right, I want to be in the top 10K. Now, obviously, I've been playing this now for 13 seasons. So in that time, the game has grown substantially. And, you know, we've got significantly more managers, which means that the logistically getting inside the top 10K becomes harder and harder every year because there's more people. So then it became a kind of, all right, well, where would I be happy with? Last season, it was 20K and I was happy with that. I had a difficult season for a lot of last year as well. So I think the top 1% is always my aim. Yep. Being the top 1% of the game, that always feels good. Ideally, within the top 50K is where I'd like to finish. After this run, if I can finish with inside the top 50K, I feel like that would be a real achievement given the last sort of 10 game weeks have been so hard.
It's still doable. Just like variance has to kind of go your side and then it's possible.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I don't think within the top 10K is probably not going to happen now. It could still happen, could mathematically happen. Yeah. But it's unlikely. With inside the top 100K should be more than doable. To get inside the top 50K, I'll need some things to go in my favour. Yeah. A couple of differentials will need to come in, and they'll need to come in big. I'll probably need to take a couple of captaincy risks, and they need to come in as well. So, but again, these aren't things that I'm scared to do. So let's just see where we land. I think the good, it's good in some ways, because when you're not where you want to be, you can potentially just make a few tweaks that yes. could still get you there.
Yeah, true. I'm also like trying to chase down a mini league rival, and he is like 83 points ahead right now. So he's like that top 20K now. So I've got to take like risk, obviously, to get into that position. So we'll see. It's like that's where all like the differentials come in. You're maybe going against the popular captain this week, because someone who's leading in a mini league, it's easy to like defend your lead. It's when you're chasing, you have to like kind of go different against the template, against the grain, and make differential calls. So we'll see what happens by the end of the season, but that's the aim. Let's see.
That's the aim. Yeah. And I think what you just said is 100% right, because for me, like, overall rank is super important. And that is what I'm looking at. I'm looking at those numbers and thinking, right, this is where I want to be by the end of the season. But also the fact that I'm not winning my mini leagues, and, you know, obviously in the FPL family, League Lee's beating me. So he's a kind of chase point and something that I'm aiming at. And then, of course, in the pod, both Kelly and Jules are ahead of me at the moment. So they're kind of at nice staging points, because Kelly's only a few points ahead of me. So I kind of have her in my sights first. If I can get ahead of her, then it'll be Lee. Yeah. Can I get ahead of him? And then finally, Jules, can I get ahead of him? So the three of them act as quite nice flags for me to aim for, I guess.
Yep, fair enough. Yeah, because as like, if you tend to beat the people above you in mini leagues, you generally also means you're climbing your rank as well at the same time.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. And I think sometimes it's easier to see it in terms of points between your mini league rivals than it is to see it in overall rank, because closing the gap from 280K to 50K feels enormous. Yep. Whereas actually, that's, you know, when we're talking about actual points, it's probably an easier, mentally, it's an easier number to climb to.
Yep, fair enough. All right, so let's start with your chip strategy. Now, you've got the second wildcard and a bench boost left. Now, after the announcement of the double game week fixtures for 34, what's your current plan?
So I'm currently wildcarding.
Oh, okay.
I played the chip actually ahead of that announcement. I had obviously played the bench, well, like everybody else, I had the bench boost earmarked for game week 37. I had, the wild card was kind of a floating thing. It was like, it's going to be played whenever I need it. And weirdly, there is a podcast, an official pod that I do back in January. And I saw the clip of it the other day, and I was talking about how I might wildcard in 24 after AFCON and the Asian Cup, or I might wildcard ahead of game week 30. And I thought, oh, how funny that actually that is the week that I've ended up playing it. But the reason I decided to play it this week, I was sat during game week 29 watching Spurs lose to Fulham on the back of a Reguilón
red card.
Red card.
I had him as well.
And on the back of literally nobody in my squad returning anything. And I thought, if I was to, and I'd already done a game week 34 wildcard, like I had a draft of what a game week 34 wildcard would look like, because that was where I expected the doubles to go, as I think we all did. And I didn't have my free hit chip left because I used it in game week 29. So in my head, I was like, if I was to wildcard into game week 34, could I create a team that would allow me to successfully navigate those last five game weeks of the season? So I had a wildcard squad that I built. And then I was so annoyed, Ryan, honestly, that Spurs game, just as a Spurs fan and somebody that was trebled up on Spurs for the free hit, I was like, this is so bad for me, because everything was going wrong. And so I sat there in the last sort of 10 minutes of the game and I was like, let's just tinker with the wildcard squad and see what it looks like, which is what I did. And there were two players that were different between the game week 34 team I'd created and the game week 30 team I'd created. And I thought, actually, at this point, why am I waiting? I might as well just do it now, because those two players I can change as we get closer to game week 34, or when we get the announcement, I can focus in on exactly what those players might look like. And so I hit the button at that point. And then obviously we got the announcement last Saturday. So that's been really helpful, because we now know, although they've only really officially announced the Gaming 34 fixtures.
Yeah, but we kind of know 37 then.
But exactly. But we know what 37 is going to look like, particularly for the Spurs and Man City game, because obviously Man City can only really double then because of their involvement in the Champions League and their continued involvement in the FA Cup at the moment. So we know where that's going to go. We roughly know where Manchester United and Newcastle are going, again, because of the involvement of Manchester United in the FA Cup, and the same with Chelsea and Brighton. It's only really that Spurs-Chelsea game that we're unsure where that's going to slot into the schedule. So, but we do know that that's going to have to either go in 35 or 36, because they're the only game weeks that we have left this season. Yeah. So,
on the very small possibility of a triple game week, but very unlikely.
I don't think that will happen. Yeah. I really don't see that happening, because it's too tight a turnaround for that final game of the season, and it's unnecessary for Spurs and Chelsea to be playing in there. In reality, Spurs and Chelsea, they're not in Europe.
Yeah, that's where. So,
there's no need for them to fit that into a middle of the week where they've got to squeeze like a day or two between fixtures, particularly heading into that final game of the season. I think it makes a lot more sense for it to slot into the 35 or 36. And so at that point, I'm looking at it going, well, I can create a team that fits nicely for 34. With a couple of changes, the bench boost is still looking great for 37. And I did think, oh, well, maybe I move my bench boost forward to 34 because I prefer, it's a bigger double in 34. I prefer that. However, in reality, that's problematic when it comes to Spurs, because Spurs blank in 34. They've got lovely fixtures leading into the 34 blank. And then they come out as one of only two clubs that have six fixtures in four game weeks. So for me, I'll be wanting to hold a Spurs asset or maybe two and put them to the bench. And therefore that rules out the possibility of a bench boost, because you can't be bench boosting when you've got unplaying players. So that's where I am. It's going to be a bench boost in 37 and I'm wildcarding right now.
All right. Interesting. Because we both have the same chips, but I'm trying to delay my wildcard and wildcard 35. So essentially I'm creating another chip by dead ending in 34. Effectively, and then bench boost in 37. That's my current plan. But then that's because I've already had the likes of, I've had Branthwaite for quite a while since my first wild card, and I didn't go too much in terms of Luton and Bournemouth players in the double in 28. So I don't have to offload too much immediately to target like good fixtures. I have Sun for this week, which is fine. No Salah, that's a problem. But I'm happy to hold one more week and get like in 31. So I'm in a situation where I'm like, okay, let me dead in and then walk out 35, bench push 37. And that's also with the aim of trying to be different for like targeting mini leagues and everything. So that's the strategy behind mine. So we'll see. It might work out, might not work out. We'll have to wait and see later down the line. But I think the good thing is there's so many different possibilities for managers, because the fixtures haven't gone like in the last couple seasons, it's gone, this is like the play, or at least the most optimal play. But this season, the doubles are they're nicely spread out, where you can go whichever formation, like tactics you want to try, you can try it out, and nothing is really a wrong move.
No, totally. And I think it makes for a fun end to the season, doesn't it? Because you're going to have some people playing through 34 who have wildcarded already. You're going to have some people like yourself who are dead-ending a team into 34 and playing it that way. You're going to have other managers who play a free hit in 34. You're going to have other managers who are bench boosting in 34. There, I'm sure, will be some triple captains that get played in 34 as well. So there's kind of like five different strategies at play. You've also got the managers that don't have their second wildcard left, who are trying to produce an optimal team for 34, but also trying to keep an optimal team for 37. Yep. And so there's so many different strategies at play. And this is where I think seasons can be won and lost. You can have moments where just having the wrong player for 1 week can be problematic. You can have moments where just having that player for an extra week. So part of my justification for wildcarding now was I know I'm going to want Salah for the whole of the run. And I wanted him for this game against Brighton. So in my head, I was like, you know, if I can get him now and captain him this week, it's going to be the only really time between now and the end of the season where Salah's going to be a slightly differential pick. Because come game week 31, all the managers like yourself, who haven't already got him, will either wildcard to get him, or they'll have rolled a transfer this week so they can get him, or they'll have freed up some money with their team this week so they can get him. So I'm expecting him to be very heavily owned for the Sheffield United game in game week 31. So in game week 30, if I can have him and captain him at a time where Haaland's got a difficult fixture, so the armband's going to be a bit more spread out anyway, maybe that puts me in a position where I can gain a couple of hundred places, a couple of thousand places, you know, and at that point, that helps that rebuild process from where I am.
Yeah, interesting. So we'll see how things go, because a lot of different types of moves that can be made for a lot of people. Like even so your wildcard in this week, when we get to Villa, I think Watkins is a player that you probably won't have, most likely.
Well, so at the moment, Watkins is a player that I've kept because of this game against Wolves. So my plan with him is to hold for one more week and then I'll sell him the week after. Yeah. I just can't quite bring myself to sell him ahead of a home game against Wolves.
Yeah, but most other wildcarders I've seen, they don't have.
They are. Yeah. I mean, I have sold Dominic Solanke on wildcard, which is risky because obviously he has a double in 34. But I needed the budget and he was my eighth. He was my eighth attacking player anyway. So most weeks he was going to be sitting on the bench. Obviously he wouldn't have been game week 34, but for most weeks he would be. And so I didn't want to spend Dominic Solanke levels of budget there because I need that budget for allowing me to have Son and Salah and all these other premium assets that you want. So in my head, I was like, well, I'm going to have to sell him now, get Munez from Fulham. And then at least, you know, I've got a cheap asset there who I can bench, but also some weeks I'm going to play. Yeah. And then eventually I'll probably look to just swap him out in game week 34 for somebody that doubles. And then I might go back to him afterwards just to free up the money. But I think there are, again, with wildcards, there are different strategies at play. I've seen a lot of wildcarders who have just gone, I'm getting rid of Ollie Watkins. Mm. And I look at it and go, well, maybe I should do the same. But actually that game against Wolves, I just can't quite bring myself to. So he gets one more week and then I'll sell him for 31 instead.
Okay. It looks like my questions might have to be rephrased now. I'm going into this because of the the chip that you're playing this week. So let's get straight into the fixtures. Now, let's start with Liverpool versus Brighton. Now, I mean, I wrote that you don't have Salah, and I guess your plan now is to get Salah in for this wild card. So now I'm going to add the second part of the question is, which other Liverpool assets are you looking at? Or maybe or even 31?
I think for me, the Salah thing is a big question mark for a lot of managers. If you can't get him this week, I don't think it's the end of the world. Because like I was saying before, he's not going to be hugely heavily owned this week because there's going to be a lot of managers that just can't get there. It won't be a nice experience, I wouldn't have thought, watching Brighton, that Brighton match without him. But I think you can probably survive this week. You just need to plan for the game week 31 because I don't think you want to be going into the game against Sheffield United without Mo Salah. For me, when I'm looking on my wildcard at other Liverpool assets, Darwin is the obvious choice. Now, my current plan, and I was just saying about Ollie Watkins, my current plan is to not have Darwin for 30 and then do the Watkins to Darwin transfer ahead of game week 31, because that allows me to have Watkins for that fixture at home to Wolves, where I think he'll do really well. And then it also allows me to get a little bit more understanding of the flag that is on Darwin going into game week 30, and then bring him in for game week 31. So I think Salah and Darwin are kind of the two Liverpool assets in terms of the forward players that I'm targeting. How to triple up on them is kind of an interesting conversation, because I do think that you want to be trebled up on Liverpool heading into the double in 34. It's just how you do that. Now, Kelleher and Connor Bradley are the two that I've been looking at. Mm. The issue I have with both of those is the potential return dates for the players that would normally be playing in their place. So obviously Trent is targeting a return at the beginning of April, which in theory is a couple of game weeks away. So if you bring in Connor Bradley on wildcard, you might have him for a couple of weeks. You have him for 30 and 31. Absolutely. Post 31, you know, there was talk of Trent being available for the game on the 7th of April. Now, if that's the case, then you're going to have an issue then going into game week 34 where potentially you've got a player that doesn't start across that double game week. That puts me off him. Same with Kelleher and Alisson. Now, Alisson's not due back quite as early, but at some point in April, we're going to see Alisson return to the Liverpool team. And again, with the bench boost in the back of my head, I'm thinking, I don't want to be ending up with a goalkeeper, a second goalkeeper that I have to change ahead of the bench boost. So the Robertson injury in playing for Scotland yesterday evening also kind of adds a little bit of food for thought in the mix. So my current thought at the moment is, well, maybe I actually just have those two Liverpool assets for this week and then look to treble up a little bit later when we've got a bit more clarity from Klopp about return dates. But also, maybe there's an opportunity with those two fixtures that they have in that double game week to go for three attackers and have somebody like a Luis Diaz as the third Liverpool asset. I wouldn't suggest that you necessarily hold him between now and the end of the season, but for somebody like yourself who at the end of game week 34 is planning a wild card anyway, he's a really nice punt. He'll be a great differential and one that you don't necessarily have to hold after that if you don't want to.
Yeah, fair enough. For me personally, now, I've been, obviously Salah is next probably for me in 31. The other player that I've been looking at is Kelleher for a -4 this week. Now, you've mentioned the reasons and that's why I want to wait and see what Klopp says in the press conference this week. Because I've got both Areola and Dubravka as my goalkeepers and I don't really see any clean sheets coming for them anytime soon. So I'm like, okay, I'll take a hit. And I've done like, I planned my team on a planner and I could end up in 34 where I have an extra free transfer to either use it on maybe moving a Haaland out if I wanted to, or swapping a double game maker out for another double game maker maybe if I wanted. So if for some reason, by that week, Alisson is back, maybe I can do that goalkeeper swap. That's not a problem. But then that is assuming that there's no injuries between now and 34, which is obviously a risk as well.
I like the Kelleher pick for the next couple of weeks. I do. I think, you know, for the next couple of weeks, you're perfectly safe. They've got great fixtures where there should be clean sheets. And I think if you're holding a wild card, it makes a lot of sense to kind of go with him because you've always got the opportunity later to change it. It's maybe one of those poison chalice things with Kelleher that is like, well, if I didn't still have my bench boost chip left, I would absolutely go for him on a wild card right now because one, he's really cheap in that second goalkeeper slot. You can have somebody that you would want to play when he comes back, when he's no longer starting for Liverpool, that's ready to be your first goalkeeper. But you can have him for these next 2 weeks, which is great. Because of the bench boost chip, I'm kind of reluctant to go for Kelleher because I know that I am kind of causing myself an issue further down the line because I have to deal with that because I don't want a non-playing goalkeeper. Yeah, exactly. And I don't really want to take a hit to bring in a goalkeeper in game week 37. That just feels utterly mad to me. But right now, it kind of does make sense. I guess the thing is, to take a hit for Kelleher this week, the ceiling on goalkeepers is so low because in reality, unless he gets a clean sheet, saves a penalty and, you know, makes multiple saves, you're unlikely to get, you're not going to get it back. So he'll probably get six because I would expect him to get a clean sheet. But then having said that, Brighton do score goals.
Yes.
So whilst Brighton have been poor defensively, they have been scoring goals. So there's a case where you take a -4 for Kelleher, but who knows what that defence is going to look like. If Robbo's out, then they're without Robbo and Trent on both sides. Obviously, that creates creates some more issues for Klopp in terms of that defence is already missing Alisson, missing Trent. You know, it adds to that, doesn't it? So -4s for goalkeepers always feel a little bit difficult because I agree with you. I don't see clean sheets for Dubravka or Areola, but they do get save points.
Yep.
And so you could end up with a situation where they get 3 or 4 and Kelleher gets 3 and you've taken
I know. I could miss out on points. But then for me, the decision is like, I feel like I eventually might have to make that goalkeeper move. Is what I'm thinking between now and 34. If I wanted like a double playing goalkeeper. And I've already got triple Arsenal in my team. So obviously Rea is not an option.
Can't go for Rea. Yeah.
Um, then I looked at all the other doubles and I was like looking at potential teams that could keep a clean sheet that week. And there aren't that many like that stand out for both games, except for maybe Liverpool. Could be Crystal Palace as well, because they have a really good defensive record, especially at home. But
then Sam Johnson came home from England, didn't he? So it's even unclear as to whether he's going to be available. Could it be Dean Henderson? How long Sam, you know, all of that stuff is playing a, it's playing a part in decisions. The goalkeepers are pretty difficult right now.
Yeah, that's what. So maybe Pickford, but then I already have Branthwaite. Do I really want double Everton defense with one game win against Liverpool? So no. So all of that is why I'm like, okay, maybe he is the only option I can go for. Now, best case scenario, he keeps a clean sheet. He makes a couple saves. I get an extra save point. Maybe he gets like one bonus point because the defense is that bad, like you're saying, and he makes a bit more saves than expected and they still keep a clean sheet. So I don't know. But if Robertson is out as well for long term, then I guess that raises another option of maybe instead of going for the goalkeeper transfer, I do a defensive transfer instead, where maybe go for... This is where we're uncertain on who's going to play that spot, whether it's Tsimikas, Joe Gomez, Bradley. Yeah.
I mean, I love owning Tsimikas.
Yeah.
I love owning him. I think he's a bit of a lunatic. Like he's the life and soul of the party, it seems, Tsimikas at Liverpool. But he also has, when he plays, he has set pieces.
Yeah.
And his numbers actually look good.
Yeah.
But again, for me, it would be where are we? And I'm less so if Robertson, and the thing with Klopp is he probably will come out and talk about what's going on with Robbo. So hopefully we might get a bit more clarity as to how severe that injury was. He tried to play on and then couldn't, which that always worries me a little bit more when they think it's okay and then they try and they can't. I'm always a bit like, oh, that doesn't feel great. So we just have to see if we get any word. But if there's word that, you know, Robertson's going to be out for a month, then it kind of looks like a really nice option to go for somebody like Tsimikas, because I think he is the natural replacement on that side. Yes, he could play Joe Gomez there, but the natural and obvious replacement is to play Tsimikas because that is actually his position, whereas Joe Gomez, not so much.
Yep, that's what. So I have to wait and see. It all depends on what Klopp says in his press conference, I guess.
Klopp's quite important, isn't it? Yep. What Klopp's got to say this week is actually going to be quite important for everybody, I think.
Indeed. All right, let's move over to Spurs. Now, they have a great fixture this week against Luton, but after that, many are looking to maybe phase out Spurs players, unless in your specific situation, they might even bench them in 34. So depending on chip strategy. For those who are maybe looking to wildcard in 30-31 like yourself, how many would you get some Spurs players? And if so, who?
Spurs. yes. Yeah, I would. So on wildcard, I currently have two. Two Spurs assets at the moment. Because actually the fixtures ahead of the blank are nice. Obviously, there's the game against Luton. There's some nice fixtures in there against West Ham, who are not keeping clean sheets, and against Nottingham Forest. So you would expect to see some goals scored by Spurs in the coming weeks. And I would hope that the 2-week international break where, you know, Postecoglou, I know he hasn't had his full squad because nobody has, they've all, you know, some have been away. But I would hope that over that time, they've spent some time kind of talking about what happened in that game against Fulham and learning from it, because it's not the ideal time to have an international break when you have a defeat like that. In an ideal world, you'd go back out there and win something, but it's a home game against Luton. And I think the next 3 weeks or so, the Spurs investment, if you don't go there and if you sell them on wildcard, or if you sell them because they blank in 34, you could miss out on some really good points for assets like Son, like Madison, like Richarlison even. What you do with them when you get to game week 34 is interesting. So there's two different camps of thought here. The first one is that you sell them and because they blank. And if you're planning to bench boost, that's kind of going to have to be your strategy that you deploy, because you can't carry blanking players through a bench boost. So one option is that you then just go, right, I'm going to move out the Spurs assets in 34. Another option is that you move them to the bench, which is what I'm planning to do. So my original plan before the game week announcement was to hold some for the next 3 weeks. And Udogi, they're my two Spurs assets that I've got on wildcard at the moment, and then sell them both as part of my transfers going into 34. However, the blank actually changed my mind, because my plan was to sell for Foden at that point, because in my head I was thinking, well, I prefer the Man City fixtures. The Spurs fixtures get awful when we get to 35. Like, to have
games against top six.
Yeah, I mean, to have games against wherever that game goes, that rescheduled fixture, we're going to be playing Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, and Manchester City in 2 weeks, like 3 weeks. It's an incredibly difficult period of time for Spurs. So my original thought was, okay, well, when we get to that run, what I'll do is I'll move out my Spurs assets. I'll invest in teams like Manchester City, who have got nicer assets and also will have a double game week. But the blank has changed my mind, because the blank now means 6 games in 4 for Spurs. Mm. And when you're talking about assets like Son against the big clubs, you just know that he's going to...
He's run behind, yep.
And that's actually going to fit his system and the Spurs style of play really nicely. Like, we tend to play better against the bigger clubs than we do against, you know, the teams that come and try and sit back and defend against us. It takes us a lot longer to break them down, as we saw in the reverse fixture against Luton earlier on in the season. So it has changed my mind. And now my strategy is going to be definitely with Son to hold him, because I'm going to want him for those 6 in 4. I think it makes absolute sense. The defence maybe is a different question, because I just don't see any clean sheets until we get to 37, when Spurs have got Burnley and Manchester City as the double, likely, although we haven't had an official announcement, but that's what we're expecting. I don't see a clean sheet against Manchester City, but Burnley, there could be one, should be one. And then the final game of the season is Sheffield United. So again, there should be a clean sheet, and I would expect that Sheffield United's future will already be settled by the time we get to that. So hopefully that bodes well for Spurs. Plus, obviously, we're still in the hunt for the Champions League, which is good incentive for us. But the defence, I think you could probably lose. But I think the attacking players, if you are a Spurs attacker, I don't think you can turn down 6 games in 4, regardless of what the fixtures are like.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because I think when you get to that point, even though the fixtures are tough, the likes of Son, the likes of Richarlison, they're all going to be like very wanted, like players that we want to get in. Because even if that double lands in 35 or 36, regardless of how tough the fixture is, a lot of managers are going to want at least 4 to 6 players from both Chelsea and Spurs together. So, it's a tough position to be in terms of like trying to navigate with the blank. But because you're benching them, it's fine. And those who are free hitting in 34 also, I guess, it's another way of like navigating without...
If you're free hitting in 34, I think you do heavily invest in Spurs.
Yeah.
Because then you come out of that. You don't have to worry about it at all in 34. You can get rid of them and the Chelsea assets. Because actually, although Chelsea don't blank in 34, they've got a horrible fixture away at Arsenal. So, you know, going into that week, I'm going to be carrying Gusto, Palmer, probably still Udogie and Son. Mm. So Udogie and Son can go on the bench with Gusto, because I'm not seeing Arsenal not scoring in that game. But I'm happily play Cole Palmer because he's their penalty taker. Yep. He's in fantastic form. But if you're free hitting and you've got Chelsea and Spurs assets, then you can just go, okay, I won't have you for this free hit week, but you can come back in ahead of the doubles that you've got coming up. And you can target in on the differentials, the likes of Eze at Palace and, you know, maybe a Wolves attacker in their place. You can kind of play the game in a different way. So, yeah, I think for me, if you are... Whatever the strategy is, I think having a Spurs assets for the next few, having a plan to deal with them in 34, but then also having particularly the attackers for those extra doubles that they've got coming up feels like the right way to go.
Yep. All right. Cool. Let's move to Aston Villa versus Wolves. Now, you mentioned that you're already keeping Watkins for this week and then most likely selling in 31. But Wolves, on the other hand, they have a good fixture run from 31 to, let's say, 34.
Yeah.
Are you looking at any Wolves players?
Yeah, so Cunha's expected to be back in training. And that forms part of my strategy for 34, because I'm going to have Minez for the next couple, because I really like him, particularly for this week in game week 30. The strategy with Ollie Watkins to Darwin means that at that point, I'll have the money to do Minez up to Cunha for the fixtures that Wolves have got coming up. Now, the original plan was to hold Minez for the next few weeks and then do that ahead of game week 34. And that might still be the strategy that I take. But it also could be that I move slightly earlier with that transfer and have him for a bit to target that nicer block of Wolves fixtures, like you say. I don't like this fixture for Wolves. I think the derby is difficult. Derbies are difficult anyway. And derbies are hard to read. You never really know What are you going to get in a derby? True. They can kind of go either way. But I look at this fixture for Wolves, and Aston Villa haven't been in the best form in the last few weeks. They've not exactly been hitting the high roads like they were at the early part of the season. But the Champions League hunt is getting so tight now that both Spurs and Aston Villa in particular, they can't afford to slip up, really, because if they do, they give the other one the upper hand. Now, Wolves is a difficult fixture for Aston Villa, but they will look at that and go, it's a home fixture, it's a derby, and it maintains our spot in that Champions League position. We have to win that. And they have to, almost, because Spurs are going to be a couple of games. They're going to have a game in hand, so they're going to sit further behind. Aston Villa need to make sure that when they have their games in hand, they take advantage of that, because otherwise Spurs are going to be hot on their heels. So I want to hold Watkins for this one. I wouldn't be keeping any other Aston Villa player though. And if I was wildcarding, well, I am wildcarding. If I was just playing through, I'd be having a plan for exit strategy on Aston Villa. Not because I think that they're going to fall off a cliff, because I don't. I just think their fixtures toughen, particularly, you know, with Arsenal and Man City in the next three after 30.
Yep.
That's difficult. And even the game in the middle there is Brentford. It's not the easiest game in the world. Mixed, I think, at best is the best way I'd describe Aston Villa's
fixtures.
But I think, you know, this week is a nice one. It's just moving out of this week. You kind of then need to go, right, if I've got a Bailey, because you brought him in for the blank game week last time, if you've got a Moreno or an Aston Villa defender, like I've got Martinez as one of my goalkeepers. Now, I just think that these are players that longer term, I don't see much upside to. There's no double for Aston Villa at a time where lots of other teams are doubling. The fixtures are tougher. I don't necessarily see any clean sheets. So I think at that point, you can look to move those players on.
Yep. All right. Cool. Move over to Crystal Palace. Now, they have two good fixtures and then two tough ones before the double in 34. So I was speaking to some other FPL managers who are looking at maybe Mateta as well as an option for like a Watkins out. Yeah. Now, you mentioned Cunha. Mateta is another one who's on the radar for a lot of people. And that also like funds the Salah move, is what a lot of others are looking at. Are there any other Palace players that are on your radar as well?
Yeah, so Eze is absolutely top of my priority list. I think the thing with Crystal Palace is that I don't particularly love the fixtures. I think the fixtures are fine between now and game week 34. I don't see them scoring loads and loads of goals over that period. I guess that's how I'd phrase it. Whereas I like, and I've got Anthony Gordon in that slot at the moment, and he's got three home fixtures in the next four. So I prefer him leading into game week 34. However, obviously he doesn't double in 34, but Crystal Palace do. So my current strategy is for an Anthony Gordon hokey cokey. So basically to have Anthony Gordon between now and 34, in 34, swap him out for Eze. And then after 34, swap Eze back out for Gordon so that I've got Gordon in play ready for the 37 double. That's currently my thought process. But I am, so Eze I want as my attacking player. You are right. I could go from Mateta up top, like I could go Munez to Arteta, Arteta doesn't want to play up top for me, but for Mateta. And I could do that instead, not have Cunha and do it that way. I am looking at having a Crystal Palace defender in my wild card team. Probably look at Anderson, just because he's got the most attacking threat of all of the Palace defenders. And also because most weeks I'll probably be benching him anyway. Yeah. It will only be that he comes into play then in the double, because in reality, my defence has got Gusto, Udogi and Saliba, who are going to be my first choice defence between now and the end of the campaign. And I'm only ever really going to play three at the back because my midfield five is so strong. Yes. I'm already going to have to be benching one of that front three anyway. So I can't see a position where I'd want to bench two of my front eight between now and the end. And therefore, whoever my fourth and fifth defender are, basically just want them for
34.
The double in 34. So I just need to make sure that they've got a good fixture there, and also that they've either got the potential to become somebody who doubles in 37 or have a decent fixture in 37. So like having somebody like a Branthwaite makes lots of sense, because doubles in 34, and has a great fixture in 37, although it's only a single. But I don't mind my benching assets having a single game week. Like, I don't feel like my whole bench boost has to be made up of double game week teams. I'm happy to have players that have a good single. So that's kind of playing out in the back of my head when I'm trying to make that fourth and fifth defender slot choice.
Yep, fair enough. And also, like, depending on people's budget and all.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty cheap as well, enable like to get other more expensive players later.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. Now, finally, the big game, City versus Arsenal. Now, this is a very interesting one because on a wild card, how are you approaching this game? Because a lot of managers, myself, now I have three Arsenal. I'm most likely benching. I have Odegaard. I'm benching him. Probably starting Saka and Gabriel because I still think even though maybe Arsenal, they could keep a clean sheet, but they could also lose the clean sheet. But Gabriel still has like attacking threat as well, regardless. So, and then there's City with people. A lot of people have Foden. A lot of people have Haaland still. I'm probably looking to sell Foden this week for a Palmer. How are you approaching it?
So I've got three Arsenal in my wildcard squad at the moment. I've got Raya in goal. I've got Saliba, who I just won't be without. I've had him all season and I could downgrade him, yes, but I just don't want to. And then Saka. My current strategy this week is going to be to play my second goalkeeper, bench Raya. But I'm going to bench Saliba as well because he doesn't have as much attacking threat as Gabriel does. So for me, I'm going to bench him. I think City score. So bench Saliba this week. No, I've got him then to play every other week of the season and that's fine. But I'm going to play Saka because I just think that Saka is, well, as long as he's fit, obviously we've got to wait for confirmation of whether this is an actual international break injury, whether this is just a protection you know, slightly maybe felt something and they've just gone, go home. We don't want to risk it because, you know, the Euros in the summer, we'll have to find out from Arteta what's going on there. But that's my current strategy is to play Saka and bench the other two. Now with Manchester City, I'm just taking Haaland at the moment because they don't double in 34. And yes, they have some nice fixtures. And my original strategy was going to be to sell Son for Foden a couple of weeks down the line, have some for these nice fixtures and then go over to Foden. When I'm looking at that now, I just don't see that that's a possible strategy given that Son has all of these doubles that we were talking about earlier. But I might look to, after the double in 34, bring in another City asset at that point, be it a defender or we'll just have to see how it goes because obviously they do double in 37. So having an extra Man City player at that point is going to be important. But the other thing I think is that, you know, the Man City assets are expensive. They're not keeping many clean sheets. So defensively, investing there just doesn't feel like I want to spend five and a half million on a Man City defender because we haven't seen the clean sheets even in the easier games. You know, they haven't been keeping clean sheets this season. So that's the one area that I'm kind of like, I don't feel like I'm heavily invested enough in a team that potentially become champions again this season. But equally, I'm going to be at least doubling or probably trebling on both Liverpool and Arsenal. So it's difficult to then heavily invest in Man City at the same time because there's so many other assets. I mean, you mentioned Cole Palmer. We've talked about Son. Anthony Gordon, I briefly mentioned. There are so many other options in those attacking positions that you would want to go to that it's really hard to really go for it with Man City, particularly when the first game they've got to play is against Arsenal. And I find this game incredibly difficult to know what's going to happen.
Yeah, usually when these two teams face, it's like a very cagey affair, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why. The other thing is, you mentioned the good fixtures. I look at that. I don't look at like just that fixture alone. That fixture is surrounded by two incredibly tough ties in the Champions League against Real Madrid, which could play a huge part in the famous Pep Roulette coming into play.
Yeah, 100%.
So the Luton tie looks attractive, but it might not be the first 11 Manchester City team that plays in that Luton fixture as well because they'll have to prepare for Madrid. Don't know what happens in that first leg because it's away from home as well. If it doesn't go their way, then they will probably rest in the Luton game and go big in the second leg. So I'm like, yeah, I'll just avoid that. I'll probably just have Haaland if needed. And that's kind of it.
I think that's 100% right. The Champions League stuff for both Man City and Arsenal, you know, neither's got easy fixtures. Yeah. Both of them are going to have to go and win those games. Nothing's easy in the Champions League, right? But these are particularly challenging ties that both of those teams have got. So that will have an impact on how they play and the teams that they put out. I think we'll see less rotation from Arsenal in the league. But with Manchester City, with the fixtures that they have surrounding the Champions League, there is definitely, I mean, you could absolutely see where Pep doesn't play his first choice in the Premier League, but has them on the bench and brings them on if he needs them. Because, you know, you bring on the likes of Foden and KDB and that against Luton, and you would expect that they could win the game even if the second choice 11 haven't done that in the first 60 minutes of the game. So it's going to be an interesting part of the season to work out what Pep does, because, of course, the Premier League is so tight this year. You can't afford any slips. Yep. Like Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City, they cannot afford any slip-ups if they want to stay in the hunt. Like this game this weekend, if one side wins it, it's already making it really difficult for that other team to stay in the hunt. I think, actually, weirdly, it's going to be Spurs that probably have the biggest impact on the where the title goes this season, because they got to play all three of them between now and the end of the season. Aston Villa also, actually. So what happens in those matches could be absolutely critical. And I think you're right to call out the Champions League, because it's coming. Those matches are coming quickly. And we know how important they are to Pep and obviously to Arteta as well. So, you know, it's not like Liverpool don't have any European exploits. Yeah. They've still got the Europa League. So they're still out there doing their thing in that. But we've
seen Klopp rotated a bit more in the Europa League.
Totally.
Compared to this one.
And let's be honest, Klopp doesn't. There's so many injuries for that Liverpool team as well at the moment. The rotating them is quite difficult because he doesn't have that big a squad to rotate around. So you do know more what you're going to get with your Liverpool side than you do with Arsenal. Well, not so much Arsenal, I guess, but definitely with Man City.
Okay, let's end it. Oh, actually, there was a question with Haaland because I added this question because there were a few people who were thinking of maybe even dumps. People sold Haaland. Some will be looking to get him in 31. There is probably, depending on your rank as well, a case to be made to even go without Haaland as well. If you're like in the millions, probably, I would say. Because at that point, you're like, you're not really gaining anything from Haaland. You're in the millions. What do you really want to do? Do you want to get in? I don't know. Take a risk is what I'm thinking. Because again, we mentioned the rotation from Champions League. Could happen. He could be the favorite for captaincy in 33, but not play as well. So it is a possibility. Would you still think he's a player can be sold, take a risk, or?
No, I wouldn't. I just think that even if you're a million, not having Haaland could see you double that rank. He's only got to go off in one game. His ownership's high. His ownership will rise again. I know a lot of people did sell him, you're right. But after this Arsenal game, he'll be heavily bought.
Yep.
And so his ownership's going to skyrocket again. He's the obvious captain for a number of weeks coming up. And yes, there isn't a double in 34, but there will be in 37. And Haaland's not one of those players that you can sell and then if you regret it, get back straight away. Because most of the time, you'll have spread that money around the rest of your team. So I don't see any point in selling Haaland and keeping the money in the bank, because if you do that, what's the point of selling him? You might as well just have him in the first place if you're not going to use that across the rest of your squad. So no, for me, I think he's still an essential pick.
All right, fair enough. Now let's end it with captaincy. Who are your captain options for this week?
So in my team, I've kind of got all of the good captaincy options, because I've got Salah, I've got Son, I've got Palmer. And I feel like those three are the top three captaincy picks for this week. Generally, my rule is if I'm going to a game, I captain a player in the game I'm going to watch. And I'm going to be at Spurs. Yeah. I'm going to be at Spurs. However, this season, my journeys to Spurs have been challenging. So I was there for the game against Chelsea. I've watched us lose a lot this season.
Are you going this week as well?
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm captaining Son.
So it has put me off a little bit.
Yeah.
But also because, and I think the other thing is that my FPL challenge team is absolutely stacked with Spurs attackers. Yep, yep. So in my head, I'm kind of like, right, my challenge team's stacked with Spurs. I've got the Spurs attackers in my FPL team. This, I feel, is the one week where a captaincy on Salah is going to feel differential.
Yes.
Because most people are going to go for, more people have got Son. Just left as a legacy pick in their team. So I feel like a lot of people will go there. I really like the Cole Palmer captaincy. I really do. I think that game against Burnley is really nice. But my current strategy is to captain Salah this week.
Okay, fair enough. I've got Son. I'm going to get Palmer in this week. I'm not getting Salah because it requires like major surgery.
It's too much, yeah.
And at that point, I'm like, the hits are not worth it. No. So I'll just do it next week. So for me at the moment, it's on Son. I think
he's a great pick.
Yeah, you mentioned the
he's
Luton,
a great pick.
Yeah, the previous Luton fixture, but I think this is at home, right? Spurs at home. So in general,
it's different.
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, it's different.
So hopefully he delivers. We'll wait and see what happens anyways. But before we leave, we do have some community questions I asked over on X. So first one is from Nuclear Atoms. For Bench Boost 34, would you have someone with a prime fixture like Garnacho facing Sheffield United or anyone with two fixtures like Sarabia?
So this is kind of what I was saying earlier about my game week 37 strategy. I don't think that your Bench Boost players have to have double game week fixtures. I think there are a lot of really nice single game week fixtures in 34 and you shouldn't overlook them because the single game weekers can often beat the double game weekers. Like in that example that you've given. Exactly. And in that example that you've just given, I'd far rather have Garnacho than I would Sarabia for that match. I just think that it's such a nice fixture for Manchester United. The having a bench boost that's got single game weekers with great fixtures is a really good strategy. And that's where I'm thinking with my second goalkeeper now. Like, I think my second goalkeeper might be Pickford because I'm going to play Raya most weeks. I could play Pickford this week. Yep. But then most weeks it's going to be Raya until we get to 37 when I need my second goalkeeper. Oh, and then Pickford's got a really nice fixture there. So I think that's got to be, and that should be something that you prioritise because the other thing is Garnacho, you can hold a lot longer than you probably would want to with Sarabia anyway.
Yep. Indeed. Next one is from FPL Point Break. Andrew, is 34 the best week to free hit because you can remove Tottenham and Chelsea assets and still have them in place for their double doubles? Or is free hitting in 37 because you can remove Arsenal and Liverpool assets and still have them in place for home games against Everton and Wolves in 38?
If I had the free hit, I'd play in 34. I just think that there's a good opportunity to target Chelsea and Spurs for the two lots of doubling fixtures that they're going to have. I think there's a good opportunity there to target in teams like Crystal Palace, who have got a nice fix, have got nice double, but you don't necessarily want to hold long-term. Same with Wolves. There's some punch you can take on some Wolves assets at that point. So yeah, for me, 34 is better. I think the thing with 37 is having Liverpool and Arsenal assets in a double isn't that they don't play double in. To me, just isn't the end of the world because those are the sort of players that can return regardless of the fixture and regardless of how many fixtures that they have. So I'd just be thinking about either, you know, maybe you bench some of those assets around the double if that's what your strategy is going to be in terms of, you know, targeting other teams that do double. But equally, you know, Saka's not a player that I'd want to be benching at any point anyway. So I think you just hold your Liverpool and your Arsenal.
Fair enough. Next one is from FPL Crisis. Will Sam be quadruple captaining Darwin in 31? I guess this is with the challenge.
That's in challenge. Yeah, probably. Almost certainly. Yeah, I think I love the new challenge format. The double scores for forwards in 31 is going to make it really interesting because, I mean, there's Darwin, who's got a fantastic fixture against Sheffield United. Obviously, you've got Haaland in there as well, who you could give it to. But there's so many different options. So it's going to be tough to pick three forwards and anyway. And then obviously one of them, you definitely give the captain's armband to because of that points doubling total.
We'll
so quadruple Darwin. In fact, you could, if you wanted to, quadruple Darwin again in 32 because that after challenge is it's the Red Rivals. Yep. So if you wanted to and you really love Darwin... If you love Darwin that much, you could quadruple captain him twice.
Crisis is a Liverpool fan, from what I know, so maybe.
Yeah, might be going there twice. I mean, I think potentially you probably go for Salah in maybe, the Red Rivalry one, but I still love the idea that Darwin Nunes could be absolutely ripping it up and getting you four times the points.
Yeah, fair enough. Then the other question he had was, is there a major advantage to wildcard 30 versus 31 if no bench boost chip left? Can I have Sun, Salah, Palmer, Ford and Watkins this week, but massive back... but a messy backline and no Haaland or Saka.
No, I don't think if you've not got your bench boost chip left, I don't see any advantage to waiting a week, because you can literally, you don't have to worry about the second goalkeeper slot. You don't have to worry about making sure that the fourth and the fifth defenders suit a bench boost strategy. You can literally just worry about your 11 and you can have a messy bench boost. A messy bench, because it doesn't matter. Like, you can go as cheaply playing as possible, I think I'd say. So the likes of Branthwaite, you can go there. You can go for Bradley for the next couple of weeks and know it doesn't matter if he doesn't start after game week 34. So for me, no, I think there's no massive advantage if you've not got a bench boost chip to waiting a week to wildcard. I'd just do it now.
Fair enough. And the next one is from Mike Kamen fan Matt. What are Sam's thoughts on the top three differentials for Spurs over the run-in?
Ooh. I mean, Madison's lowly owned still at the moment. And actually, I think most people will go for Sun. So going for Madison feels like a decent pick. I think the same with... Same with Richarlison. Like, again, none of these Spurs assets are that heavily owned anyway. If you want a real differential, then you go Brennan Johnson in the attack, because he'll get a lot of minutes. And even if he doesn't start, he comes off the bench and tends to do stuff off the bench. Defensively, you know, Pedro Porro is going to be the most obvious defensive pick, but I do like Vicario in goal. I think, you know, particularly if you pair him nicely, you can bench him in the weeks where Spurs have got horrible fixtures, and then you can, you know, but he does get a lot of save points as well, so you do have that option there as well. And Romero is the obvious differential if you want a defender, because he's got more goals than any other defender this season, and he ends up in the right places, and where we are most dangerous often is from our set pieces, and that's where you'll then find him waiting for the ball. So yeah, they'd be my kind of my best differentials from Spurs, I guess.
Fair enough. Yeah, he's in my challenge team, Romero, this week against
Newton, so he's in mine too.
We'll wait and see how that happens. That's basically it. Thank you for your time today. Do you have anything to plug?
So there's a lot going on for me at the moment. Obviously, make sure that you are playing FPL Challenge. It's going to be hopefully really exciting. I really like it as a concept. I think it's going to add so much in terms of just your ability to go a bit different and to target in on the teams that you really like for that week, knowing you don't have to worry about the long-term strategy. You can just have fun with the picks. I'll also be back on Thursday morning with the official podcast. Lee and I will be on Sky Sports News on Saturday morning, and then we'll both be on the Fantasy Show on Monday ahead of the game week 31 deadline on Tuesday.
Awesome.
Busy week.
Yeah, busy week indeed. And you can also find me, Football Chatbox, on YouTube, where I do weekly videos and deadline streams. That's it for this week's Scout the Game Week. I'll be back after Game Week 30 and looking ahead to either Game Week 31 or 32, because it is a midweek game week, so have to see.
It's a struggle.
Yeah, trying to find a guest to get just before Game Week 31 is not going to be easy, so maybe after, like in the middle of Game Week 31. But green arrows all, and have a great Game Week.